Then he's gone for 2 weeks. Then I'm gone for 2 weeks. So we are not going to see each other for a long time.
Yeah. Okay.
Aspetta, Sharif, grazie. I need you to stop for a minute.
You want to start?
Yeah. So let's just, I think sometimes it's helpful to do a little bit chronologically, but very little bit about pre-Italy, let's say, just to kind of get a sense of your background, and then maybe focus mostly on your kind of entry into Italian culture, in particular experiences with the food here. So maybe we can just start by having where you were born and where you grew up.
Born in Brooklyn, New York, raised in New York and the surrounding area.
Mm. So what were your first memories of food, your first experiences with food that you remember?
My first experience with food and memory has to be my great aunt, my grandmother's sister, who was a big lesbian in World War II nurse. And she was quite overweight, but she loved food. And she would always bake and cook. And she would like to corrupt me because she didn't want to eat alone. So she would always include me. And those were always the foundation of my love for food was her and her cooking. Not that she was necessarily a great cook, but just I think the devotion and passion for cooking and eating that she had.
Was there any particular thing you remember that you prepared?
Horrible pineapple cakes with canned pineapple. It was very kind of suburban 70s food. Not a lot of fresh vegetables. Rice Krispie treats. It could be even something as simple as eggs or grilled pork chops with sauerkraut, or even pierogies or matzo brat.
So was there any particular bent to it culturally, or was it?
No, it was really kind of standard American fare of that era.
And probably poor, limited ingredients because of what was available.
Absolutely, absolutely. Everything was frozen, everything was dried, there was no fresh vegetables, it was limited. Like, everybody ate that way.
Yeah.
So.
But your positive memories about food then had to do with her and your experience with her?
It was her pleasure that she, watching her have pleasure from the experience of cooking and eating,
mm-hmm.
is really what stands out almost more than the food, and I think that carries over today as a chef. I think even more than the pleasure I had from cooking, it's the pleasure of watching people react to the food.
Mm-hmm.
That's the high motivation in what I do.
Yeah. So being in Brooklyn, what are your earliest memories or experiences with Italian food? Was that part of your youth at all?
Not so much. My grandparents they were Yemenite Jews. That immigrated to Israel and then to America. So they owned a restaurant in Brooklyn when I was very young. So I do have that also. That's another, I have the sights and the smells of that in my head. But as far as even youthful references, a lot of it has to do with Jewish cooking, mm. I think. Chicken fat, matzo brei, like I said, which I don't know if you know what matzo brei is. Matzo, you know what matzo is. It's where you soak it in water, and then you dip it in, and you soak it in egg, and you saute it in butter or chicken fat. Mm. It's like a breakfast thing. Bagels with lox, kind of those very stereotypical Jewish brisket.
Yeah.
Roast chicken, where you take the bread, and you dip it in the fat of the chicken and then the salt. There are all the reasons why Jews have heart attacks at 50 years old. No, it's true. So.
Okay. So then let's move ahead to Italy then. How in the world did you end up coming here? Or what were your first connections or relationships to Italy and Italian food, would you say?
Well, my partner of 11, 12 years is Italian from Rome. So I have that connection right off the bat. But after I had my own restaurant in New York for 15 years, a couple of restaurants and a bar, and I did catering. And it just reached the point where immigration was a problem for him, and I was burnt out. I didn't stop for 15 years. So after 15 years, we said, fuck it. And we sold everything, and Rome seemed like the logical step since he was from Rome.
And that was 4 years ago that
you moved. We came September 1st of 2007.
Okay. So his being Roman, you must have been exposed to his ideas of food before you came here?
No, not at all.
Not at all?
Well, I did. I did come once with him before we moved here, and like we stayed with his mother, who at that time was actually an amazing, amazing cook. Mm-hmm. I'd been to Europe several times before and eaten all over Europe, but coming to Europe with him, specifically Rome, and eating with his family and friends was a whole different world.
Oh,
absolutely.
Oh, so describe that then.
Eating, you know, in America we eat pasta where the pasta is the minor part and the sauce is the major part. And here it's the complete opposite. And, you know, even things as simple as eating food seasonally on a mass scale. You know, you can do that in America, and not even in America, but really New York and the West Coast. You do that at the green markets and Whole Foods maybe to some extent, but here, though that's changing here as well, you know, you eat strawberries when strawberries are in season, and you eat things according to their seasons, which was a shock to me in a way.
Well, describe a first meal that you had with them. I mean, was there a first meal that you sat down with a family and...
Yeah, but it was so long ago. I don't remember specifically. I think it was something like pasta with radicchio that I had never had before. Actually, it's one of my least favorite pastas, by the way. But just even fried zucchini flowers that were made properly.
Yeah,
those kind of just very simple, standard Roman carciofi. Nothing fancy. Just the cooking of the house that any mother would do.
Yeah, and then so. Describe your kind of entry into Roman life and Roman food, then how that unfolded, and your you know, early impressions, and how you kind of settled in.
It was very difficult for me at first, entering into Roman life. And even the food part was difficult to some extent. You know, you come from a place like New York, and especially where I had my own restaurants, where whatever I wanted was available 24/7, I'd been this way my whole life, and you come to a place where the markets close for everything closes for 3 hours in the middle of the day, and things are not available, and everything's closed on Sunday. You can't find what it is you're looking for. You don't know the city well. It was a very large shock for me. And that, when we moved to Prati, and I discovered Mercato Trionfale, and even before that, Piazza Mercato Vittorio, Vittorio, that opened up a world. And now, after almost four years, I feel that I know Rome. When it comes to food and finding things, I know Rome better than most Romans as far as that's concerned. Mm. So, sourcing products out.
So, can you describe your predilections, food wise, before you arrived here? What kind of cuisine you were focused on, and then after? And how that's changed?
My food was my cuisine.
Your daily, and not your cuisine. The stuff that you eat daily.
Yeah, of course. No, it was international. I mean, it was eating not only what I cooked in my own home or at the restaurant, but going for sushi or Chinese food or Indian food or steak frites to go for French food at Balthazar. I mean, you had a plethora. A smorgasbord of selection, and not only selection, but incredible quality of selection and diversity. Thai food, Puerto Rican food, some of the best food in New York is the Puerto Rican food, the Dominican food, and even something as simple as corned beef or pastrami. Every once in a while, even to find a quality of mustard or a quality of pickles, those are the things. Now you get into what's limited about Italy. On one hand, you have this amazing, amazing, amazing quality of produce. Specifically, really, the produce is spectacular.
Here,
yeah, absolutely.
And also the vegetables.
That, when I say produce, I mean fruits and vegetables.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. The meat, to me, I have a problem with red meat in Italy, just because it's grass-fed, and I guess it's just a thing with my palate that it doesn't register for me very well. But the chickens, the maiale, is fantastic.
So basically in New York, you were eating a quintessential, like, international New York kind of diet of potentially like a different sort of thing every night, like a different cuisine from a different continent.
It could be, yeah. I mean, but it also could be, I'm the kind of person that if for like lunch, I'll get stuck on something and I'll eat like a chopped raw vegetable salad with tuna fish and I'll eat the same dish for 3 years in a row. And then right. All of a sudden I stop like and that. I go to something else.
Right.
I guess it's par for the course as being a neurotic New Yorker on some level.
So then how does your diet change when you came here? Like what is your, typical daily meals consistent?
It's consuming a lot less. The Italians, you don't really eat between meals. You're eating a lot less processed and junk food because it's not available. You instead of eating sweets as far as baked desserts, you're eating more fruit after dinner and those kind of things. Also, with the heat in the summer, I think you tend to eat less as well. It's just a much cleaner, simpler, intelligent way, I think, natural way of eating. You know, in America, we eat huge breakfasts, whether it's bagels with cream cheese and butter or omelets, going to the diner for an omelet, or... Here, it just doesn't exist, you know. Here, it's still coffee and cigarettes in the morning,
right.
So.
That's breakfast.
Yeah, that's breakfast.
So for you, when you were first settling into life in Rome, and by that, I guess, I mean food, life of food here in Rome, Well, I guess we should actually talk about whether we want to focus more on him as a cook or him as a person in Rome. And I think we had talked about his, like,
person.
As a person here, not necessarily just focusing on you as a cook. So I guess your relationship to, I'm wondering if there was some... Because you're so conscious of food and it's something you think about professionally, how it affected, like, maybe your daily life or your relationship to the culture through food, you know what I mean?
No, clarify for me. I'm not following exactly.
Like, I feel like...
Did the culture change me, or...?
Not necessarily. One of my observations of Italy is that the food is... culturally kind of equal in its heritage and significance to painting, to sculpture, to any of these like finer arts. And if
Italian
was,
we're talking about.
Yeah, I mean, just...
I don't know if I agree with that.
Though. Okay, then elaborate on that.
What is it?
What do you think...
What is Italian food culture?
Maybe that's a better way to start, yeah.
But
like
really...
Your perspective.
It's... God, they hate me when I start with this.
Oh, please do, though. We don't mind being controversial on this book.
I had a big fight with Enrico the other day about it.
And he's Italian.
And, of course. Yeah, very proud from Norcia. Italy claims it's part of what Italy builds its heritage on is its food culture. But in reality, Italy's food culture is not from Italy. And yes, you have the migration from Asia through the Arab countries, through Sicily and Naples of a lot of product. But really, tomatoes, potatoes, you can go on and on. Even gelato. I mean, everything that Italians recognize as their own is really not their own.
Mm-hmm.
And there's nothing wrong with that, because nothing is really, even corn. I mean, so every dish from polenta to pasta to gelato to gnocchi is not from ancient times. It's the past 400, 500 years, maybe, at tops. All the sugos. So I find it a little bit annoying that they would identify the culture now for something that really doesn't belong to them.
So what would you say makes an Italian approach to food unique?
Well, I don't think it's so much an Italian approach. I think it's a Mediterranean. I think all the Mediterranean countries are very similar, from Greece to Italy and all the other ones that border.
Spain too.
Yeah, I mean, you have the oils, the olives, which is a central part, and roasted meats and the carciofis and those kind of vegetables. Mm-hmm. They ate a lot of fruits and nuts and eggs and fowl and those kind of things. It was a very limited menu, and tons of fish, of course, but an incredibly healthy diet as well.
So what is your, if you had an ideal day meal-wise, what would that consist of, morning till night, like breakfast, lunch, and dinner, or what? Like, how are you eating through the day, an ideal day, if you had that opportunity?
You mean to eat the way I want to eat?
Yeah, or how you do eat an ideal day.
I guess somewhat typical. We don't eat breakfast. For lunch, I usually eat a lot of salad and raw chopped vegetable salads, whether it's tuna, or maybe I'll make a little polpette, something very simple meat-wise. Then for dinner, we usually eat earlier than most Romans, probably eat at 8 o'clock instead of 10. And it can be anything. It can be anything from a roast chicken to pastas to lasagna to... But I think it's... I think it's not traditional. I think I've taken the Italian menu and I've merged it with my sensibility, my New York sensibility, to make it a little bit more, I don't want to say flavorful, because I'm not trying to imply that Roman cuisine is not flavorful. It is tremendously flavorful, but it's limited in its scope of variety of flavors. Mm-hmm. And as a chef, that's very hard for me to... It's very hard for me in my life to be limited by anything anyway, which you are in Italy a great deal, from at least my perspective. So, but to be limited as far as food and what I can taste on my tongue and sensations of my tongue and the satisfaction, that to me is very difficult. Yeah. So I must change traditional to fit my needs.
Can you list some of the flavors that are missing that you look for when you're preparing food for yourself or when you're eating? Like specific flavors or herbs or something like that?
Well, I think that certain types of definitely meats are missing. The beef experience, the lamb experience doesn't exist here for me the way I want it. Fish is great here. There's no problem with fish. I think that now you can find coriandrolo, which was a big part of what I love, so I do use that a lot. I think everything is available to some extent. It's just very hard to source out. You have to go to pastrone. So even something as simple as maybe curries or tandoori spices, those kind of things, which I do use quite a bit, actually. You know,
Some Italian fusion with curry? Like some Italian fusion with something else that uses curry?
Well, I do. I'll make braised vegetables with yellow curry. I'll use yellow curry, and I'll make it as a side dish for risotto. You know, that kind of thing, instead of just making a plain risotto with porcini. You know, which is great too. But I do. I crave the other things. But I'm just trying to think of something else that you can't get here. Things like pastrami. You know, things like certain kinds of Chinese food. You can find elements, even something as simple as really great miso soup. Now you can buy the elements to some extent here, and I do make my own miso soup, but it's just that you don't have the immigrant population. And without an immigrant population, you don't have the supply and demand. So there's no demand for it.
Yeah.
So you have to go to Castroni and buy a little packet of something that's out of date. That's 10 euro, you know, that kind of thing. Even something as simple as a deli mustard, you know, which is like a yellow, it's a very specific kind of mustard. It's not like a French Dijon or the shit Senape you buy at the supermarket at the GSA. Even something as simple as pickles. To find a good pickle, I'm very much a slave to my past.
Yeah, it sounds like it.
It's a comfort. But listen, we all want a comfort food, and I could cook anything in the world, but you still kind of want those things that kind of make you comfortable.
What do you mean for you, Romance food, in specific way?
What is Roman food?
Traditional Romance food.
Roman food is wonderful, but to me, Roman food is it's limited. It's boring to some extent. You know.
Do you mean what is Roman food to him? Is that what you mean?
Yeah.
Like what?
His opinion about Roman food.
Okay. Yeah.
I love Roman food, but most the problem once again is when you say Roman food, what do you mean? Do you mean food you buy in a supermarket, or are you talking about restaurants specifically? Where do you?
No, the cook in general. Cicoria, coda vaccinara, this kind of, you know, traditional.
My problem with tradition, the word is tradition that I have the problem with. Because this is another argument I have with Italians constantly, especially with this restaurant. You know, Italians, in theory, want something different. But they really don't want something different. The same way that I want the mustard I was familiar with and the pickle, they want their pasta and they want their cicoria cooked the same way. And when you talk about cicoria, you're talking about boiling the shit out of it until it looks like, you know, a diseased intestine. And then after that, you have to wring it out, and then you saute it with just a little bit of garlic, but you have to, God forbid, you eat the fucking garlic. You have to take the piece of garlic out, and then it's maybe a little lemon if you're lucky, and salt, and that's it. Yeah. They would never saute it with ginger. They would never put butter. It's like sacrilege.
Yeah.
And that's another thing. Fish with butter makes me crazy, because if I make a vongole, not only do I want to just do a teeny pat of butter to finish it, but I want to put Parmesan on it. And I catch shit from every fucking restaurant. I'm like, you fucking cocksuckers. I'm paying you 11, 12 euro for a vongole. If I want to put a little cheese on it, go fuck yourself. No, it's true. These, you know, what they deem as right and wrong, there's no rules with food. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Italians of all people should know there's no rules, because they don't follow rules when it comes to paying taxes or driving or cheating on their girlfriends or boyfriends and having, you know, we can go on and on and on.
Yeah.
But when it comes to food, they claim to have these set of rules.
Why do you think that is? Why do you think there's that deep, deep connection to traditions that evolved in very austere, poor conditions, really?
I think it has to do with family. I think because Italians, more so than a lot of other cultures, stay together longer as a family. I think they eat together more than most other people. And
also with grandparents.
Yeah, the family, the generations stay together. It's not like that. In America, people sit in front of their TV and eat at different times. The kids eat at one time, and dad eats at another time, and mom eats at another time. Here, it's not like that. And that's wonderful. It really is fantastic.
But do you think that maintains some sort of cohesion?
Absolutely, absolutely, without question.
Mm-hmm.
Because people aren't independently doing their own food thing. The generations are eating together, so there's a binding culinary.
That's a big part of it. But another part of it is also that Italians don't only like the familiar with food, they like the familiar culturally as well. What makes Italian incredible is that it's not corrupted by corporations, at least not so much as the rest of the world, by outside influence. That's all changing, but that keeps it consistent and kind of true to what it's been for a very long time, without question.
So how have you, in the time that you've been here, have you noticed changes regarding food and the culture here specifically?
Oh, absolutely. Even in this time, I've been here for 4 years, I see people, more and more supermarkets coming. I see also more people shopping at the bigger supermarkets, like at the mall, like Auchan, En Grande, these kind of places. And I see more and more alimentaris, they close. Mm-hmm. People, more and more markets, less people go to markets than. But I think that's also a product of the times, where you have a lot of now two people working in a family, mm. out of necessity. So I don't think people have the time to cook the way they used
to
buy,
shop,
of course. No, absolutely.
How do you see the difference then between a very recent sort of fixation on food in the United States and where it's coming from, I think in the general?
You mean the Italian
public
fixation?
No, in America, I feel like in the last few years there's been a general fixation in the general public and the press about food and where it's coming from.
Yes.
How do you see that happening in Italy yet? Or is there any, you know, bio, like local?
Yeah, but by default, you mean in Italy we're talking.
Yes.
By default, the food is basically bio and local and seasonal. I mean,
but I'm saying if they're moving towards supermarkets, do you see
the change?
For example, like, you could theorize that post-war, when there was obsession with convenience, convenience.
Meaning you didn't go kill your chicken in the backyard, that kind of thing?
You're getting it frozen, and things were canned and frozen, whatever. That we in America didn't have a deep culinary tradition to lose, so it wasn't quite as, we didn't have like a fragile culinary tradition to lose necessarily, and it happened very quickly, and it's a few generations back that it maybe shifted, and now we're seeing in America a real pendulum swing, and people are developing an interest again in food and where it's coming from. If you were to look at Italy, would you say that, where is Italy in that pendulum swing? Like, is it now swinging towards the supermarkets? Is there any response back to questioning that, or resistance to it with things like the Città della Tricolonia?
I don't think there's a resistance, because I think the younger generation, it's normal for them. They have no other reference point than where they are.
The supermarkets, right?
Yeah, the supermarkets, and now even I see in Rome more and more Burger King's opening, and even Subways. I see Subways in Rome. I think a part of it is they're craving for something different too. The younger kids, they're desperate for anything that's different. It doesn't matter what it is. Even like that wretched T-Bone Station, you know, anything that's deemed to be foreign or American. Or not Italian, they will go to, absolutely. Mm-hmm. But also they're not, I don't know, I think people in general are losing, I think it's a natural also situation where with two parents working, it's the same thing that happened in the United States. Kids are unsupervised, they don't take an interest then in cooking and food. It's really more about substance, you know. Grabbing a piece of pizza or grabbing something quick and on the run. It's about eating. It's not about dining or savoring.
But how far do you think it's possible for it to swing that far in that direction, even in Italy, to the degree it has in the States?
No. Also because there's not the selection here. You don't have the culture of consuming here in anything the way it is in the United mm-hmm. States. That's the biggest shock, I think, difference between the two cultures is how much Americans buy and consume, and here it's not like that so much. That's the biggest thing. Will it ever go to the point of America? Who knows, but I somehow doubt it. You also don't have the obesity here that you have in the States, and I think even a fraction of the health problems in general. So.
There were two observations that I think have come up through the interviews that we've done regarding this. And one is that accounts of younger kids, maybe not terribly interested in food, and then going abroad and all of a sudden really craving Italian food and calling their mom to find recipes and making those and starting to realize, maybe the same way you had when you came here, but becoming very fixated on Italian food when they left. And having that only come about once they were out of the country. And then similarly, a real lack of care and attention to culinary traditions, if I can call it that, here in Italy, like a loss of a real sophisticated palate in Italy, and not a lot of lamenting about it either, you know, towards the fast food in the supermarkets, except for the foreigners, like Americans who are kind of obsessed now in certain fruity circles, maybe with the Italian food, and much more fetishizing an Italian culinary tradition than the Italians themselves. Like, do you have any observations about that, like being a foreigner here?
I haven't noticed, really. I mean, no observations as far as that. But I can tell you, for me as a foreigner being here, and when I'll go to a friend's house and they'll cook. Even people who are passionate about food, not everybody, but I'm talking about it. I'm generalizing, mm-hmm. you know. And somebody will what somebody will say, oh, this is great prosciutto, or this is great pasta, or this is great cheese, but it's really garbage. Yeah. It's the crappy prosciutto you buy in the supermarket, and it's that I don't understand. Yeah. I can understand, you know. Know your own. If you're going to say something is great, it should be great.
Yeah.
But I'm also a snob with food. I'm not a snob with anything else.
That's come up a few times, though. We've talked to a few people who are more sophisticated about food who've said the same thing, and this is, they've said, happened recently, where someone they thought was pretty intelligent about food would tell them to go to this restaurant. It's the best ever, and they would go a few times and be like, horrible, or yeah, the same situation, eating something, and just seeing a degrading of the palate, kind of, and the sophistication of a palate.
I think it's everywhere in the world, though. Yeah. It's not just a problem of Italy. Though on some part in America, there is this, I see through my friends and from what I read, there is this kind of renaissance of food that's happened, at least, especially on the East Coast,
totally.
Which is quite amazing.
I think it's across the country.
Even across the country. Yeah. So I have to admit, that's amazing. And here, I think it's kind of gone, the pendulum has gone that opposite way,
yeah.
Whereas they need a renaissance of some sort here,
yeah,
on a lot of different levels, Italy.
Maybe can you talk a little bit about how this plays into your life professionally, like what you're interested in exploring with the food that you prepare? Or what you observe in that kind of situation?
You mean on a work level here,
yeah.
Even? On a work level, it's been very difficult because I'm very stubborn in what I want to do and what my vision is. And, you know, for me, it's a classic fight. Is what's more important, the way the food looks or the way the food tastes?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and a lot of, 50% of the people will say the way it looks and 50% will say taste. And obviously taste is
most important.
The most important, and not just taste. You know, I have a very, maybe because it's my great aunt, the lesbian, maybe it's because of the weight issues I've had my whole life. You know, I have a very singular love affair with food. I feel very connected to it on a very basic level. So when I taste something, when I formulate something in my head, I can actually do the shopping, do the preparation, do the cooking in my brain, and I can taste what's going on as I'm putting it together. I can know how something will taste and turn out before.
Mm.
I don't know if that's good or bad, but it's and even here with this restaurant, they wanted something international, and the restaurant's been very successful, really, since the day it opened. But even then, they're fighting me because they want some more traditional things. It started with, oh, you know, we want vitello scallopini, and then we want, which is fine, I have no problem with that. But then, oh, first we weren't doing pastas, now we want a pasta, now two, and then more pasta. It doesn't matter if it's successful, it's still, you have some people that go, oh, there's not enough pasta, you know, because it's,
yeah.
It's Italy. And this is not a tourist restaurant, this is for Italians.
Right.
So
if food is food and food traditions and the culinary arts are alive and living, how would you say, and always changing, what do you think is the future of, let's say, for example, Roman food in particular, food in Rome? Like,
I think the future, I don't think it does move forward. I think until you have more foreigners that come here, which is probably inevitable in the long term, for not just Rome, but for Italy, I don't think anything is going to change.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's been like this forever, and it's going to stay like this forever, more or less.
So the possibility of foreigners affecting and twisting
any culture is like that.
And,
you know, it takes immigrants to diversify a culture and to change it for better or worse.
Yeah,
however you look at it, especially food-wise.
And do you feel that in your background, like in New York, for example, with the Jewish tradition there and a way of eating that's very much like an immigrant culture?
Absolutely. I mean, that, it's not just the Jewish background, it's the Puerto Rican background, the Chinese background, the Mexican background, you go on and on, Jamaican background.
Well, I meant like you personally, like if you had, like through the food you're eating as a young person there, if there was a sense of like, I don't know. I mean, I just always feel like with immigrant cultures, food becomes really urgent because it's your way of kind of
staying connected.
Having a visceral connection
of course,
to your
absolutely,
past.
Absolutely. But you know, one of the few great things about America is the melting pot experience, where you take the basic culture and you diffuse it with something new, and then it kind of spreads to the whole culture and becomes the basic culture again. homogenizes into the standard. Here, that doesn't exist. Anything that's outside of what is they fight against it really, really, really hard.
Yeah, yeah.
That's, to me, very, very difficult.
Yeah.
Maybe that's why I crave so much the pastrami and the things from New York that I can't get here, because there's nothing, there is no diversity. If there was even a little bit of diversity, I think I could fall back into it much better, into the way it is here now.
And actually, one last question related to that. I don't know if this is true, but it seems to me that perhaps if, you know, like I had when I was living in the States, if you have a very diverse diet that's maybe Chinese one night, Japanese, Mexican, Thai, Italian, French, like every night of the week, a radically different kind of food.
Yes.
Do you lose a sense of subtlety that you have when you're, for example, eating so close to the seasons and so close to a certain culture of cuisine? If you're eating the same kind of food every night, like if you're in Rome eating Roman food, whatever that is, every night, do you develop a sense of subtlety that you don't have when you're eating
this? Yes, food? Absolutely. You do lose a sense of subtlety and a sense of what's the word I'm looking for? I can't remember English or my Italian anymore. You become less of a snob about food, too. You know, New Yorkers and Americans are very snobbish because there is everything available at all times, and that can be off-putting. And until you move away from that and get into the Italian experience, you don't realize it, really. So I'm grateful to have been able to step away from that and to be more subtle in my approach and my eating. Absolutely. Listen, too much of anything is not good. Yeah. And I think that translates to, you know, once again, really to sum up, the Italian food experience for me is limited, but on the other hand, it has been a wonderful experience. I feel that with everything I've learned in the past about food from different cultures and my cooking and going out to eat in New York for years, but being here and living here and working here and eating here and shopping here has rounded out, has really kind of softened me as a chef and a person, and has enhanced what I do by softening the edges. I really do believe that. I think I'm a better person and a better chef for being here and living here, even through the difficulties.
Do you think that comes out of going deeper into something, like going deeper into a particular...
I think it's just, it's not so much going deeper, I think it's just stopping. I think it's stopping and observing and kind of, like we were talking about before briefly, you know, with Italy, you have to, you can't fight it. It's really a matter of stopping and falling back and letting it catch you. And I think once you allow yourself to do that,
it's fascinating.
It changes you as a person and your experiences. Yeah. I think it probably does it too as a writer or an artist, or I think it's not just food experience, I think it could be any experience.
Yeah.
When you go from a manic panic situation to a very kind of the other extreme. So
well, that's fascinating.
Could you talk about shopping and a relationship that you have with a Roman seller in general, or your experience in the market of Via Andrea Doria?
Oh yeah, the people who you're getting your food from, do you have a relationship with them in particular?
Some of them I do. Some of them I've used for many years. The people like the Macellidia is a guy that I've used for 3 years.
Really?
And he's a son of a bitch. He tries to cheat me.
Really?
He gives
still?
Me, he's a cocksucking son of a bitch. Fascist piece of merda.
And you still go to him every...
Because his quality is amazing. For me, and that's part of the attraction of the relationship too, is that, you know, I'm probably some scumbag American, you know, to him, and he's some cheap piece of shit, fascist son of a bitch. But as much as we dislike each other, we love each other.
Yeah.
Because it's a game, to some extent. And everything here is a game. The shopping experience is a game. Trying to do business is a game. It's the only way I can describe it.
Yeah.
You know, in New York, I used my same purveyors for 15 years, 20 years, some of them. You call them up, you leave a message at 3 in the morning if you want. The next day it's there at 6 in the morning. Mm-hmm. It's exactly what you want, exactly how you want. I pay them every week.
Like in Rome.
Like in Rome. Even trying to get your bread delivered here, is like everything is like pulling teeth.
Yeah.
So it's challenging, to say the least, but you find ways, like with anything, you have to find the alternative routes to get to where you want to get to. And it means a lot more work, because it means I have to get on my motorino in the morning, and I have to go to the four corners of Rome to buy what I can't get delivered here. Yeah. And it's very difficult. But if you want a certain level and a certain standard, it's the only way.
So where do you personally do your shopping for you at home?
I'd say 70% is at Mercato,
quello di Prati.
See, what is it called? We just said it 1,000 times. Trionfale.
Trionfale.
Have you been to Trionfale, by the way? Mm-hmm. It's a horrible building. It's the worst building in Rome.
Wait, the Center Market north of, on the north side of town?
It's very close to here. It's
really close to here.
It's via Andrea Doria.
See.
It's the new market that they built before we have a shop.
It used to be on the street, which was amazing, actually.
Yeah, amazing. Huh.
And then they put it, and if you study architecture, it's probably the ugliest building in all of Rome.
Huh. It's unbelievable, the style that they decide to do this market.
But that's where you go most for most of your...
Yeah, because for me, I buy my meats there, all my vegetables. Even
it's very close to your apartment.
It's close to my apartment, but it also has... It's one of the few markets in Rome that the people come that have, like, farms. Mm. And they have their own banco.
Mm.
So you really can get... You can spend, you know, 20 euros and have... 25 euros and have a cart full for, like, 5 days of food. It's amazing.
Mm.
And then, of course, I go to Piazza Vittorio. For certain things, spices. I go to Castroni for certain things that I can't get anywhere else. I also love to go to places like In Grande, which is this horrible mega supermarket where you buy everything in like bulk. But for certain things, like to buy yogurt, canned tomatoes, those few things, it's fantastic. I'm also a supermarket junkie. I'm a shopping junkie, but supermarkets, I've always been fascinated with supermarkets. So... any supermarket for me is a new adventure.
And then what about restaurants?
I fucking hate the restaurants. There's not one restaurant that's fantastic. Not one. It does not exist for me here.
Hmm. If you had to tolerate one.
If I had to tolerate,
where do you go? Like, where do you go?
I cook 99% of the time.
If you have friends coming, you're not coming here. Like, family.
I go to the place with family. I go to what's it called? Spaghetti something in by the Colosseo. There's a restaurant called something. There's a couple. One is Cafe Monti, which is right by Piazza Vittoria, which is actually quite. It's okay. It's okay. I eat it. There's a place called Bella Napoli by my house. It's crap. It's absolute garbage, but I eat there because it's convenient.
It's there, yeah.
It's there. And they're packed.
Yeah.
They're packed full. No, there's like no place. Very frustrating. Sometimes you just want a fucking French onion soup.
Yeah.
No. And some...
Wrong town.
Yeah, I know it's the wrong
town. I know. Do you need to get back to the kitchen? Are you?
Yeah, 5 minutes.
Okay. Do you have other questions that we're missing? Or are there any around this big topic? Are there things that we're missing that you think are important to mention?
I don't know if it's just that I'm jaded and angry and stubborn, or is it just me, or sometimes I don't know if it's me or if it's other people as well that feel the same way, the way that I do.
Do you know people who do? I mean, do you have these conversations, let's say, with Romans that
I find Romans, I find Romans always agree on a certain level, but there's always that hesitation because nobody wants to criticize their own culture. You know, I wouldn't want to do it with, I do criticize the States, but nobody
wants to. Maybe they can do it among themselves, but not with the foreigners.
It's like niggers calling each other niggers, or Jews calling each other kikes, or faggots calling each other faggots. Yeah, it's the same thing, absolutely. What you do in your own company is a different story. But I don't know. I love Italy, and I love Rome, and I would love to stay here on forever and make my home here. But until I can find that level of fulfillment, and whether that means having my own restaurant to be able to do what I want, or staying at this place if I do stay here for the long term, until I can find that fulfillment, I don't think Rome can ever be home for me.
Yeah.
So right now I feel like a person without a home, because New York is not my home anymore and Rome is not really my home.
Yeah.
So I feel a little lost.
But going back to that earlier question, though, thinking about what has existed here in Rome, food-wise, in the past, as far back as you want to go, and what it's brought us to now, and then you, let's just say very simply, you here now, what do you think, what is your path forward with Roman food, let's say, like, creating food here that's taking what's happened before and moving forward in some way? Like,
you mean where I want to drive the future of Rome?
Yeah,
where
like what you're interested in taking forward and what you're interested in leaving behind.
I want to take the Roman... I want to do what I've done here to an extent. Here I've had to make it a little bit more upscale because it's an expensive upscale restaurant. I want to take the Roman plate and I want to combine it with the American plate and the American sensibility, and I want to add more flavor to it, and I want to sell food to the masses. I want to serve high volume, good quality food with communal tables, something that makes the Italians crazy. I want to take all of the taboos, everything that's taboo to the Italians, and I want to shove it down their throat. And I want to shake them and say, this is food, and this is the dining experience.
So what are the taboos you're interested in breaking, for example?
That they have to sit at separate tables, that communal, they'll never sit in a communal table. It's like a, you know,
impossible.
You think you've stabbed their grandmother with a crucifix, God forbid, if they have to do that. You know, it's maybe putting cheese on something that doesn't traditionally have cheese. It's maybe having a vegetable al dente instead of boiled to shit. Mm. Those are a few examples, but it really stretches the spectrum of the Italian food and cultural experience. Once again, it boils down to rules. I want to teach them that rules, like driving rules, food rules can be broken and still be true and meaningful.
Yeah.
That's really what my goal. If I can do that, and it's not about being famous or successful, I just want to stay in the kitchen and they can think I'm the dishwasher.
Yeah.
But that also crosses, you know, with Roman chefs, when you start getting into Roman chefs, everything is about appearance. Mm. The way they're dressed, and they have to look very professional, and they can't cook with garlic, and this one can't do this, and this one only cooks bio. It's all fads.
Yeah, yeah.
It's all bullshit. It's not substance. Good food is good food. I don't care if it's American or Italian or from Bangladesh. Good food and home cooking is good food and home cooking. And Italians have to learn that you don't have to have gimmicks in a restaurant.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to be a gimmick. It doesn't have to be designed bright plastic white. It can be put together, and the food is what is important, not the architecture or the design or how the chef is dressed or what the waiters are wearing. It's the actual food, and until they can learn that lesson, nothing will change.
Yeah.
Ever.
Well, how do you reconcile that with the fact that, as I understand it, at least what we call Italian food is actually really peasant food.
Absolutely.
Like, and then
it is
trying to create
food.
a much more sort of precious dining experience that elevates those.
It doesn't have to be a precious dining experience. They just have to be willing to add more things. What's up?
Oh.
Is it ready or is it burned? Take it out. It's probably burned.
If you have to go
burned.
Back to the kitchen, I think we're in pretty good shape.
Yeah.
Do you have?
I don't know.
What?
Yeah, actually, because it's an hour now,
yeah,
so I do need to go. I hope I gave you enough information.
No, it's plenty. I mean, that's a lot.
Maybe we can...
if you need another follow-up, a bruciato.
Oh,
that's a little overcooked. Okay.
A minute. Maybe we can talk another time when we all...
It's just close to dinner, so I...
Yeah, this is great. And I think when this gets edited down, it's actually...
Yeah, exactly.
Because we'll do 6 pages for each one, and I think that's...
No, because I have another question, but maybe we can talk about this another time.
Is Jill taking pictures?
No. Jill, take the picture another time.
But you can also feel free, if you have something in your head, to email me questions, and I'll write it back to you as well.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you, Mikey.
I'm sorry, I couldn't give you more.
No, this is great. Thank you.